Our scripture this morning is from Matthew, and this is from the 25th chapter. As Sally said, there is times where when Jesus in teaching uses these methods, these stories, these parables as a way to help us understand. And some of them are very straightforward, and we nod our head and say, I get it. And others sometimes are hard for us to make sense out of or don't jive with what we know of Christ and God's grace, and we try our best to make sense out of it. Sometimes we would rather just walk away from them and ignore that this was ever spoken. But let's listen to this and see if we can't find the truth that this is trying to communicate to us. So Jesus says this: the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We have all fall long been opening doors that are ways for us to open ourselves to God and ways that God opens God's self to us. If you remember some of those doors, and if you haven't been with us, some of those doors have included the door of praise. That's a way that we open ourselves to God and God opens God's self to us. The door of prayer, the door of presence, the door of peace, that which we were entrusted with, the door of power, the door of proclamation. We have reminders of these from our children's moment at the second service, but are also here for us. The door of proclamation was on Reformation Sunday when we remembered the daringness of Martin Luther posting those 95 theses, proclaiming the truth of God's grace. The door of persistence, All Saints Sunday, thought of those who persisted in their life in the face of adversity to proclaim the good news. The door of presence, we revisited again last week with Daryl. And finally, the door of preparation this week. For some, they have responded during this time that they have felt a door open to them. And they've expressed an interest in membership or increasing their participation in the church. And that's what this yellow commitment card is for, is maybe you felt a knocking on the door and you're ready to open it, or you have an idea and you want to share it. And we're ready to welcome those new members. And I hope that if you are ready to take that step, you might express it. Others have been moved and led by our stewardship campaign. That's this orange card. There's some in the back. I know we haven't received them all yet, and so I do want to encourage you. But this is more than money. This is all of those aspects that are part of our faith life: prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. For all of us to think critically about moving ahead and the kind of preparations we should be about if we live our faith out, I pray that you might open some of these doors. Sally, in her prayer, I think, did a better job preaching on this passage than my words are going to. It's a hard passage. We hear this preparation, we hear the wise and the foolish, and I know I often feel like I'm not part of the wise. Just how prepared am I? And maybe that rings true for us in different ways in this holiday season. Looking to travel and arrangements, to decking the halls, the lists of gifts, the lists of things to do, the reminder list to remind us of all the lists that we made. And we throw ourselves wholeheartedly into this chaos. And the parable today, before we start this holiday time, causes us to pause. Tells us about the kingdom of heaven. Tells us about the preparations we should be concerned with. It's one of those uncomfortable teachings. Like I said, it's one of those that we rather kind of forget that was said. It's so contrary to that wild, radical welcome and inclusivity that we've otherwise liked to embrace about Jesus the Christ. Some being left out in the cold. We don't want anybody to be left out in the cold. Now, before we just kind of look past this, skip over it, we need to ponder why it's there. This is right near the end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. This is right near the end. What does it seek to tell us? What is it asking us to ponder in the midst of our holiday preparations? It asks us, what is central to your life? What is central to your life? Around what do you prioritize your time and your talents and your giving, your gifts? What are you using your oil for? And what are you holding it back for? Do our lamps shine with the light of Christ, or do they hang unused in the basement of our lives? Like all that camping equipment. It said at the end of the weekly email update this church put out just this past week, it said, "Therefore, let each one of us see to it that they have these two together, the oil, which is true faith and trust in Christ, and the lamps, the vessel, which is the outward service toward your neighbor. The whole Christian life consists in these two things. Believe God, help your neighbor." The whole gospel teaches this. I read that and went, amen. Sermon over. But before we just move on, let's ponder the scene in the parable. Think about this scene. This is a big wedding, by the way. There are 10 bridesmaids. I can't imagine the amount of money that's already been outlaid for 10 bridesmaids. And what we know is that these 10, they're all dressed, they're ready to go. The production of the hair and the dresses, the nails, that's all been done. And they've been given a general idea about when the limo is going to come by to pick them up, but they have bad cellular reception. As unusual as that might be, they have bad cell reception where they are. And so in order for them to be seen, they're going to have some way to flag down the limo. And all of our cell phones have that wonderful option now of a light. Of a light. So there they are. They're waiting for the limo to go by with the groom. And they're digging around in the purses, their purses as it gets dark, for some way to show where they are, but also some distraction as they wait. And the limo, it didn't come. And it didn't come, and it became darker and darker. It had been a long day with those hair appointments and nail appointments and all the preparations. And as it became dark, they got a little drowsy because of how long they had been awake and everything they'd gone through. And so they nodded off a little bit as they waited. And then there was this brief moment where somebody had a couple bars of cell reception, and they got a text. And it said, "The groom is on the way." The limo wasn't exactly sure, had a general idea. They following Google Maps of the general idea where they was, but there was a need to shine the lights to make sure that they could be seen. Some of them tested their phones out now to find that their phones didn't have enough charge. The light was kind of dim. wouldn't really pierce through the dark night. Half of them, five, had come prepared, and their phones had been charged prior, and they hadn't sat there surfing the net and checking on their social status through the delay, and so their phones were fine. And those that hadn't charged or had spent their time in distraction on their device thought that their wait was never going to be that long, and they pleaded for help. They pleaded somehow that there might be a transfer of charge to them. And those with the full charge said, well, we don't know how to do this. We don't have the kind of cords to do that. You're going to have to walk up and plug in at the supermarket up there to charge up. And as they walked on to get a charge, the limo came. And the others were left behind. If they hadn't spent all that time taking selfies, posting on Instagram, Facebook, updating their status every 5 minutes, still waiting on the groom, five went on to the party. They locked the door so no one would crash the gig. The other bridesmaids, meantime, they've come back from their jaunt to get a quick charge, and they have been left behind. Nobody's there. They have an idea where the party is, and so they catch an Uber, go to the party. When they arrive, they find that the door, though, is locked. Banquet hall's been locked up tight. And it's very late now, so no one opens up. The groom is kind of called to the door. You know, do you recognize these five women with their hair done and their nails? And he says, look, we're not going to open the door. You were supposed to be there. You weren't there. And because you weren't there, you're not supposed to be here now. Goes off to the party. Now, what does this mean? That's my little updating of the story for you. What does it mean? What's the teaching here? Now, the groom passing in the night is Christ. And those with a full charge are those who are ready for Christ, not wasting or spending their time taking selfies, being self-indulgent. It's those who are ready for the Lord, who are prepared, and who have prepared their lives for that moment. Those without are those who are unprepared, who have focused their lives around other things. Now, within the context of the Gospel of Matthew, it seeks to make explicit the identity of Jesus, especially to those who have been denying that he is the Messiah, that he is the bridge to God, the one who reconnects God to God's people. Now, Jesus has already, in Matthew's Gospel at this point, told his listeners of the unexpectedness of the Messiah's coming or return, given instructions on how to be, how to behave, on the actions that display readiness. It's what we have done as a congregation in some ways. We have members of our team that work with the consultant here. We've established a purpose to make connections, to offer opportunities. Let's see if you can finish it. I now know this so well. Make connections, offer opportunities in... Oh, it's got to be more than Sally. Come on. Faith, love, and service. Make connections, offer opportunities in faith, love, and service. It's a recognition that we need to individually and as a church, as we await Christ's return, let our lanterns shine with the oil of our faith, an oil that we understand can outlast the dark, cold night and that might allow us not to be left out, nor others, in the cold and dark. It's a recognition, a purpose that we've got to prepare, we've got to be prepared, that we've got to grow in our faith, and that through faith, we can have an oil that never runs dry, no matter the situation or the setting. I should say a charge here if I'm trying to update. That doesn't change the harsh realities of the world or the things in our own lives. It doesn't take them away. But it shines in the face of them with light and warmth and offers an alternative. It's an alternative. A faith that's fueled by Christ. The challenge is none of us like to wait. Does anybody here like to wait? I'm still, Sandy, you don't like to wait. Nobody likes waiting. The stores, they jump from season to season. I'm surprised we're not in Valentine's yet in the stores. We want to sing songs about the Savior's birth and Advent, and actually we're already ready, and there's a radio station that started before Halloween was here playing the songs of the season. We're ready to move from one holiday to the next before we even have made the feast, let alone eaten the leftovers. We don't like waiting at stoplights. Anybody like stoplights? We don't like waiting in lines. But waiting is not something we can escape. Life is full of waiting. Waiting for the transitions, waiting for the weekend, waiting for test results, waiting for the pizza to come, waiting for our visitors to arrive, waiting for our families to call. But waiting is a commitment to a decision. And a component of this parable is the reminder that we, yes, may have to wait, but that waiting is a door of God to us and us to God, a door of preparation, and we need to stay ready. We need to open that door and make ready. And that's more than a passive thing. There's an activeness to this, even in the face of long delays. And so I come to you this morning with great news. Christ did not return last night. Alleluia, thanks be to God. Now, why is this good news? Because that to me means I have one more day at least. One more minute, one more second to grow in my faith, to open that door of preparation which opens God to me and me to God. And that would be a good thing to have a little more time, because I'm not sure that my oil supplies are what they should be, that my lantern is shining so that my light can be seen, that my life is charged so my light can be visible. I don't know that I'm ready to encounter Christ's return without more preparation. Now, maybe you're ready, but I kind of think we all might be in need of some more supplies of oil, a little more charge, a little more faith. Put in other terms, I think we're all in need of supplies of patience, of hope, of truth, of forgiveness, of love. These are the light that will shine bright. I planned on this, by the way.
Thank you.
That Christ will not pass by. And I don't know how prepared you are, how large your supply of patience and hope and truth and forgiveness and love, which is only going to become threadbare as we descend into December. But mine gets a little thinner than it should at times. Don't catch me in traffic. It's very unpastoral. And it gets worse as we enter this frenetic and frantic season. I need you. We need each other to continue to work together, to charge our spiritual batteries, to help each other, to open this door of preparation, to come together in our preparing, to encourage rejuvenation and recharging. Our scripture says you're not going to know the when. You're not going to know the day or the hour. And if we heed scripture, not knowing how long, how short our time will be, how long we might end up standing on the side of the road, how many years or decades or even centuries it may be, we're going to be prepared regardless. It means devoting our lives to preparation and growing daily in our faith, in our hope, in our love, in our patience, in the truth that defines our life. It means that no matter the situations that we face, war, hunger, terrorism, economic decline, our light is going to shine, and it's going to shine brightly, that we'll find joy in the Lord and strength in the Lord and comfort in the Lord and love in the Lord. And so I pray this morning that we won't spend our time predicting when the end is going to be or idly waiting for it to happen and arrive. but to proactively prepare in the ways that Christ taught us, through acts of love and charity, through displays of kindness to each other, through growing in our faith, in study, and in worship, and through always, always letting that boundless hope in God to shine from our spiritual lights, that God may see, and when the time comes, we might be found. Amen? Amen. Let us spend a moment in prayer. God of heaven's eternal banquet, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you have sent to us in Christ an invitation to all to come. We give you thanks that you give us all we need to be ready and even more. We give you thanks that all you ask of us is to be prepared, is to commit our lives to your coming. But we admit that even when we gather for this time, we're distracted. We put off for tomorrow all that we should do today. In Christ, your grace reaches down to inspire and encourage us to live into and up to our best selves. But we put off all that will mean in our lives and to our lives. Help us by the guidance of the Holy Spirit to delay no longer. Help us to ignite the lamp of your truth blazing in our lives that all may see and others may come to see. And so give us generous hearts to share with our neighbors. Provide us the vision when necessary to leave our comfortable seats in search of oil. Wake us from our slumber that we may be ready to meet Christ in all and may follow his eternal light. In Christ we pray. Amen.